Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulip. This week I'll be talking with Tanya Tompkins and Eric Zivian, artistic directors of the Valley of the Moon Music Festival, which gets underway next week in Sonoma. Also starting next week in venues around the Bay Area is the Midsummer Mozart Festival. Music director Paul Schraga will be here to talk about that. Those performances. We'll also talk with Scott DiLorenzo, who's playing Edna Turnblad in the Bay Area Musicals production of the multi-Tony Award-winning smash hit Hairspray. 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. Open Air's regular contributor and critic-at-large Peter Robinson will also update us with what's going on up at Ashland, Oregon, in the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, as well as other activities in Ashland. Stay with us. Very musical open air for you today. A couple of music festivals to talk about, starting off with the Valley of the Moon Music Festival, the nation's first and only organization devoted to presenting chamber music from the classical era to the 20th century, early 20th century, performed on instruments built when the music was actually written. It gets underway at Sonoma's Hanna Center Auditorium on the 14th of July, running through the 28th. It's in its 5th anniversary season, and this year's theme is Salonières, Women of Power and Influence, featuring chamber music from Bach to Stravinsky on period instruments. And welcoming back to my studio here is to the artistic directors of the festival. Artistic director and co-founder of the Valley of the Moon Music Festival, cellist Tanya Tompkins, is equally at home on Baroque and modern instruments. In addition to local groups like the Left Coast Chamber Ensemble and San Francisco's Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, Tanya is one of the principal cellists of the Portland Baroque Orchestra. Among other groups she plays with and has performed at the Frick Collection, great performances at Lincoln Center and the 92nd Street Y. A very busy Tanya, welcoming you back to the studios here.
Thanks so much.
Of course. And joined by your co-founder and music director of the festival, Eric Zivian. Coming back, Eric has given solo recitals in Toronto, New York, Philly, as well as the Bay Area, and has performed as soloist with the Toronto Symphony and Santa Rosa Symphony, among others. He, too, is a member of the Left Coast Chamber Ensemble, in addition to other ensembles, and his compositions have been performed widely here in the U.S. and in Japan. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, I love the theme of this festival, Women of Power and Influence. A couple of those names might be familiar to people, like Fanny Mendelssohn, but others not so much. How did you find these movers and shakers and decide to include them around a theme for a whole festival?
Well, exactly. That name is really familiar. Clara Schumann, we all know who she was. She was married to Robert Schumann. She was an unbelievably gifted pianist and performer. And Fanny Mendelssohn, also the sister of Felix Mendelssohn. I just felt like any time we wanted to, in the music world, focus on women in classical music, it actually always went back to Fanny and Clara, and they were always represented, and their compositions were always represented. So, oh, good, we've gotten that taken care of. We got the women composers there. Good, we focused on that. But I actually just started reading about... it started, actually, with Tchaikovsky's patron, von Meck, and their relationship, and then it extended to all these other women that were featuring. We have 6 different Salonières on this season, and actually there could have been like 100 of them, I'm realizing. Started reading about it, but what I discovered is that they were incredibly influential in the lives of composers and performers at the time, and also of writers and artists, and they would invite these incredible people into their homes and expose them that way to their very influential friends, and in that way would launch careers and give them names. The one that I'm sort of fixated on right now is Winnaretta Singer, the Princess de Polignac. We're featuring her on July 21st with a really wonderful lecturer, to put it in perspective.
Well, some people might be familiar with that last name, Singer.
Singer, yeah. Because she was the daughter of the sewing machine
guy.
Yeah, exactly. Isaac, the fortune. Isaac. And that's how she got her money, but actually she was kind of cut out of that family. And she went to Paris. This is all at the end of the 19th century. And she hooked up, literally, with the Prince de Polignac and became part of the aristocracy in Paris, which gave her a lot of influence. And her salon had in it Cole Porter, Stravinsky, Proust, all these incredible people. Ravel actually dedicated one of his early pieces to Winnaretta, hoping to get into her salon so that, you know, he could get somewhere. And she saw it and she's like, I don't know who this Ravel guy is, but, you know, forget it. But eventually he finally did make it into her salon. But that's really interesting. In fact, the biography that I read about her that really was just, you know, sparking my imagination so much about how powerful these women were was written by Sylvia Kahan. It's called Music's Modern Muse. And she will be there on the 21st signing that book and talking from the stage and putting that into perspective for us. Stravinsky also had a lot of his works premiered in her beautiful, huge music room in Paris. Whole ballets were done in her house. A lot of things happened in there that were spectacular. And so we're just focusing on some of those composers that she had relationships with. I think the high point of that July 21st concert is the Chausson Concerto for violin and piano and string quartet.
We're going to hear that shortly. But let's talk about some of the other influencers, movers and shakers here. Another name I was not familiar with for the Italian program on Saturday, July 20th, Cristina Belgioioso.
Belgioioso, I think that's how it's pronounced. Yeah.
Eric?
She was a big supporter of the Italian independence movement. And then she also knew Liszt and Bellini and Rossini, Italian composers, but also some of the German Austrian guys like Liszt, and supported a lot of their music. So we'll be having some of Liszt's piano music and some songs by Liszt, which is a wonderful area of Liszt's music that people don't know a lot about, but they're just wonderful songs for voice and piano. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of naming names, as we did with Singer, Christina's salon out of her Paris home included people like Alexis de Tocqueville, Balzac, Victor Hugo, and Franz Liszt, among other participants.
Yeah, yes.
That must have been quite a time in Paris.
Yes, it was good. We've got those two different times, the Belgioioso time and then the later time with Winnaretta Singer.
And what's fantastic about these salons is that it was relatively informal. It was a relatively informal way to experience music, and that's what we're doing at Valley of the Moon Music Festival. We are making an intimate environment, and it's not formal. It's just experimental and inviting and community building. We have receptions after every concert that features a local winery from Sonoma, so we can mix with the audience and the audience can meet us and the lecturers and we can talk about it. And so there's a bit of the salon in the festival as well. And before we started this music festival, we had house concerts. And I've always liked playing and also listening to music in private homes, and that's just kind of perfect for chamber music. So
we're in the Hannah Boy Center, but we have a very warm, inviting atmosphere. It's not a big hall; just over 200 people really fit into it, and we make it feel like a rather large private home. Which some of these saloniers had pretty large homes too, and they had big premieres, like of big Stravinsky pieces and Winnaretta Singers, or in some of the other people's houses as well. So it feels a little bit. We try to make it feel a little bit like that.
Mm-hmm. I also didn't know that this woman named Sarah Levy. Levy, is it?
Yeah, huge. So that is Mendelssohn's, I want to say,
great aunt.
Yeah, it seems like too far away generationally, but it is. And a lot of times people think of Mendelssohn as reintroducing Bach's music to the
public.
Especially
the St. Matthew Passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was because of Sarah Levy that happened. Because she was the one who knew the whole Bach family and had that manuscript in her possession and passed it along to Felix Mendelssohn, who then did perform it for the first time in a very long time. And so that concert on the that one's actually on the morning of the 28th. That one will have coffee instead of wine at. And it says Mozart in the Bach family, because she, of course, knew all about Mozart, too. But we have three Bachs on that program. We have a little bit of J.S. Bach, which is unusual for us, because usually we start after him. But because this was about Sarah Levy, we thought we should have a little bit of J.S. Bach. And then we have his two sons, C.P. and W.F. Bach, on that program. So to show her range of interests. And, of course, she was Jewish, and she didn't convert. But some of her family did, like Felix Mendelssohn converted, but they all identified at least partly as Jews. And her salon was all about getting these musicians, some of whom were Jewish, some Christian, and authors as well. And just it was a place where these different types of people could mingle and get to know each other, talk about great music.
That was in Berlin.
Ah, yes. We did want to hear a little bit of the chanson. We can talk more about the festival after that. Tell us a little bit about the chanson concerto and the way it's being presented at Valley of the Moon.
Right. So the chanson concerto is called a concerto because it's written like a concerto, but the orchestra is formed of a string quartet. So it's a solo violin, solo piano, and string quartet. And the performance you'll be hearing is actually some good, wonderful musicians and good friends of ours. You'll be hearing playing this on totally modern instruments. One of the interesting things about this Winnetta Singer concert is that she lived a little bit later, but we're still going back to the period where she lived, and using the string players will be playing entirely unguts strings. And the piano we'll be using is very nice, that UC Berkeley is lending us Chickering from 1896. So it's built like a modern piano, but it sounds more like some of the old pianos in some ways that we use. And it's a wonderful instrument. It's been voiced specially for us. We're going to move it up there along with the usual older period instruments that we take up. It just makes the music sound quite special. We played with it the other day.
And I think audiences will get a chance to hear it in a way they've never heard it before. So what you're about to hear is how we know the piece. But even we just heard it with this piano that we're going to be using, with the historic piano and with the gut strings, and it's so eye-opening. It's completely different. It makes me, as a string player, also play completely differently to have the experience of playing with that piano that's so appropriate.
Right. And it's wonderful. We were thinking it was wonderful on this to talk about on 4th of July, that we have this wonderful American piano that we're using, and it was a great company at that time. They did it first before Steinway, in terms of the modern American piano. And it's a wonderful instrument, and it's equally at home in German and French music, which is mostly what we're playing. We're not doing a lot of American music there, but Winnetta was also American.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear a little bit of the Chanson Concerto and done in a chamber version. And you're going to be very fortunate to be having Rachel Barton Pine as your soloist for that. And then we'll talk more with Eric and Tanya. Just a bit of flavoring of that incredible Chanson Concerto performed in a chamber version as part of the Valley of the Moon Festival. That concert as part of a Visionaries Salon Winnetta Singer, Princesse de Polignac, on Sunday, July 21st at 4 p.m. Valley of the Moon Festival. Directors Eric Zivian and Tanya are with me here. Once again, fantastic stuff. And we should mention some other things that are going on as part of the festival.
Yeah. In addition to having Rachel Barton Pine join us for the first time ever, we're so excited to get to work with her. She's a fantastic violinist. She'll be performing in that chanson and also in some other chamber music on that middle weekend, July 20th and 21st. She's also going to be doing a master class on Wednesday, July 17th from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and that's open to the public. So if people want to come and get the...
Free it open to the public.
Yeah, free. If you want to get the inside scoop on how to interpret things that we're going to be performing at the festival, that would be a great opportunity. And the other free concert we're giving is July 27th at 2:30 p.m. That's preceding our 4 p.m. regular concert. And that will be featuring our apprentices. So we have these spectacularly talented young people that work with us every summer. And they will be performing a Mendelssohn piano quartet on the 27th.
And remind us of the website so we can have people to go there.
www.valleyofthemoonmusicfestival.org.
And things do get underway on Sunday, July 14th at 4 p.m. Concerts at the auditorium.
Anna Boyce Center Auditorium, 17,000 Honor Drive in Sonoma.
In Sonoma, valleyofthemoonmusicfestival.org. With Mozart's irrepressible impresario, Countess Maria von Thun. What do we know about Maria von Thun?
So she was actually, well, as you can hear, countess, part of the aristocracy in Vienna, and a fabulously talented keyboard player herself. She had wonderful taste. She befriended Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven. And actually, so her salon was very musical, more focused on music probably almost than any of the others. But that's really in the early classical period. So that's our earliest one, except for the Bach.
And for that one, we have the very early copy of a very early piano that the model on a piano from 1795. So it almost looks, everybody comes into our house because we own this piano, says, oh, is that a harpsichord? But no, it's a piano. It still has hammers like a piano does, but it's a wonderful instrument and totally different sound from a modern piano.
And on that program, you can hear historic clarinetist Eric Hoprich, who builds his own clarinets and plays on them. And you'll hear that in that concert. And one of the pieces we're playing on that is a Beethoven Opus 11 trio, which was dedicated to the Countess von Thun.
Well, it's a great excuse to go out on some Mozart, and we'll make for a nice segue to our next guests about the Mozart Festival coming up. Let's go out with the incredible opening movement of the clarinet quintet that'll be performed as part of that concert on July 14th. You just mentioned the gentleman that's building his own clarinet for that.
Eric Hoprich,
yes. Eric Hoprich. Mm-hmm. We'll look forward to catching the concerts up in Sonoma. Eric Zivian, Tanya Tompkins, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Music of Mozart to go out with and to segue into the Midsummer Mozart Festival. always lovely to have as much of that music to play as possible, the Mozart Clarinet Quintet, one of my favorite works. And I'm a flutist, and I don't know why that work resonates with me so much, but it's absolutely one of the most finest pieces created for the repertoire. And that's part of the Valley of the Moon Music Festival that you'll hear on the 14th of July. The festival runs through the 28th at the Hannah Boys Center Auditorium on Arnold Drive in Sonoma. ValleyOfTheMoonMusicFestival.org for more information. Well, that makes a great segue to the Midsummer Mozart Festival. Now, unlike the Valley of the Moon Music Festival, Midsummer Mozart takes place in various venues throughout the Bay Area and beyond, with concerts, coincidentally, in Sonoma, but at the Buena Vista Winery in San Jose, the Noe Valley Ministry here in San Francisco, and gets underway a week from tonight at the Freight and Salvage, with a Midsummer Mozart Festival opening night featuring a good friend, Daniel Glover, pianist, in a solo recital. He'll be joined by a guest pianist, Thomas Hansen. That's on the 11th at the Freight and Salvage. The music festival's music director, Paul Schrage, is joining me in studio. In addition to being music director of Midsummer Mozart, conductor and pianist, is music director of Symphonia Caritas and conductor of the San Francisco Reading Orchestra. He's also been on the conducting staffs of the Berklee Community Chorus and Orchestra and the Merced Symphony. Paul has performed with orchestras in recital and in jazz settings across the U.S., in Europe, Brazil, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Paul, welcome to our airways.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about the festival's, the decision on what to include in the festival.
Yeah, so the festival is very well known for its wonderful orchestra concerts, and that's been a very strong a tradition for 45 years now or so. And so the decision was made to expand the scope of the festival to all things Mozart. And so now we are including a solo piano recital. We're including an event that has a speaker, a couple of a string quartets, and some arias, and then, of course, you know, the orchestra concerts as well. So we want to celebrate the full output of Mozart and also his life. And so... And so this festival is the first step into expanding the festival to all things Mozart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned that the opening night is next Thursday at the Freight and Salvage with Daniel Glover, phenomenal pianist, with Thomas Hansen as well. And then the full festival, so to speak, gets underway on the 12th with a program called Words, Wine, and Music. It's going to be at the Noe Valley Ministry on Sanchez Street. And that is going to have an interesting combination of music and a guest author, the author of Marrying Mozart, which is a historical novel by Stephanie Cowell.
Yeah, it's a wonderful novel. It's been optioned for a movie. I hope they make it. She did loads of research into his life at 20 and 21 when he was courting these sisters. He was sort of, you know, courting one of them for a while, but that didn't work out. Ended up by marrying another one. And they came from a very musical family. All of them became very successful singers. And it's a really wonderful read, and her perspective on Mozart at that time is really unique because of all the research she's done. And so she'll speak, and then we'll play some string quartets, you know, in between her speaking, and also do a few arias that had been written for those sisters. So specifically, yeah.
Yeah, you can enjoy some complimentary wine, Stephanie's insights into Mozart, some wonderful anecdotes, and of course, music by the Midsummer Mozart Chamber Players. The string quartets 7 and 21 will be performed along with arias with guest artist Christina Major, accompanied by you, Paul.
Yes.
Which arias will be sung for that, do you recall?
So we'll start with Nein...
From
Meinem Dank, which is a concert aria that he wrote for Aliosa, who he was first sort of suite on, and that didn't quite work out. And they'll end with Et Incarnatus Est, which is from the Great Mass in C minor that he wrote for his wife, Constance.
Mm-hmm. And that, once again, that concert is going to be on Friday, July 12th at Noe Valley Ministry here in San Francisco. And then the full festival orchestra under your direction will have performances on Saturday, July 13th at the Trianon Theater in San Jose. That's also going to feature Christina Major in arias by arias from Idomeneo and Don Giovanni, the Symphony No. 40, and Divertimento in B-flat, Allegro and Variations, Kerschel 287. And that program will be repeated on Sunday the 14th at the Buena Vista Winery in Sonoma, and on Monday at the Casadero Music Camp in a free performance. That's a wonderful program.
Oh, thank you.
And including the Symphony No. 40, which is just the G minor symphonies, again, I don't think he could perform any bad works by Mozart. The choosing must be the most difficult part of deciding what to include in the program.
No, right. And that was, that too was one decision, though, to expand the festival, was because his writing for orchestra, of course, is brilliant, but anything he touched was brilliant. So his solo piano works, his chamber music, his operas, his choral music, they all were the high point of writing at the time. So, so it is a challenge to sort of narrow it down. We try to find a good mix of the known and sort of less known. Of course, 40 is, you know, quite well known, mm-hmm. And other things are not performed as often as they should.
And let's go out with some more Mozart, and again, one of the most beautiful works he's written, Exsultate Jubilate, Kerschel 165. We're going to hear Renee Fleming sing this work. That's also part of the Midsummer Mozart Festival Orchestra's concerts on the Saturday, July 13th, repeated on Sunday up in Sonoma, and on Monday at the Casadero Music Camp. Paul Schrage, thank you so much for coming in today. We wish you a fantastic festival.
Thank you so much for having me.
Information about the festival at MidsummerMozart.org.
Thank you.
part of Midsummer Mozart coming your way to a theater near you, midsummermozart.org, for more information. Here's more of the great Renee Fleming and the Alleluia section from Exultate Jubilate. Almost. We'll get there. The great Renee Fleming singing Exultate Jubilate of Mozart, part of the Midsummer Mozart Festival. Not Renee Fleming, but you'll hear guest artist Christina Major singing those works as part of the Midsummer Mozart Festival Orchestra Concerts on July 13th, 14th, and a free concert in Casadero on the 15th. Midsummer Mozart, for more information. Still to come here on Open Air, I'll be talking with, Peter Robinson will be keeping us informed of what's going on up at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and other things happening around the Ashland area. But always a great time to introduce a musical to our mix here on Open Air, and this is a great one. Bay Area Musicals is presenting the 8 Tony Award-winning musical Hairspray, starting on July 6th through August 11th at San Francisco's Victoria Theater here in San Francisco. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Scott DiLorenzo, who is playing Edna Turnblad in the production. Scott is has been seen in the Bay Area Musicals production of The Wedding Singer. He's also been King Arthur in Spamalot at West Valley Light Opera, Brian in Avenue Q at the New Conservatory. I think I saw you in that. It was really wonderful.
Nice.
And Tri-Valley Rep, Alf and Peter in The Star Catcher at Berkeley Playhouse. And you call this, Scott, your dream role.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those on my bucket list, you know, especially as a bigger actor. You know, it's one that you just kind of want to have under your books. And it's such a well-known part that, you know, everyone loves. So I cherish the fact that I get to make it my own for
sure.
This production.
Well, some people may not be familiar with Hairspray, so sure. Let's get them on board with the basic plot line.
Absolutely. Hairspray is based off of a 1980s John Waters movie called Hairspray. It opens with Tracy Turnblad at the beginning of the 1960s. She is a heftier young lady who dreams of being a dancer. That is her entire life, but unfortunately her mother feels like, because you're bigger, that's probably not the direction you should be going. But Tracy will not be deterred. She decides to go an audition for the show, but is blocked right away, saying like, you're too big to be on TV. The stars align, and somehow she makes it on TV and becomes a huge teen icon, fashion icon, hair icon, and everyone loves her. Now, she ends up finding herself battling in the civil rights movements because she is very progressive for her time and believes that there shouldn't be segregation on this television show. So she, you know, very openly says, like, Negro Day shouldn't be only one day a week. It should be every day. So that gets her arrested, and ultimately the whole show is based off of acceptance of skin color, acceptance of body size, acceptance of social status. It's a beautiful piece of theater.
Mm, nice. Tell us a little bit about your castmates. Who is playing Tracy Turnblad then?
Tracy is played by Cassie, who's a fantastic young actress. She's she has the voice of an angel, and she just looks so much like a bright-hearted, like, wanting to do the best that she can, Tracy, as you've ever seen. And she, you know, Bay Area Musicals prized itself on casting, blindly casting. So where traditionally Tracy would be full white, Cassie is actually half Filipina.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, you know, whoever fits the part the best.
Right, right. That, yeah, that plays into the whole theme of relations between folks that look different from you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The production is directed and choreographed by Matthew McCoy with music direction by John Gallo, based on John Waters' amazing movie. The music is by Mark Scheiman with lyrics by Scott Whitman and Mark Scheiman, and a book by Mark O'Donnell and Thomas Meehan. How is this production staged? Is it as technicolor bright as one would expect from the 50s?
Or? You know, what I have noticed in regards to Matt McCoy, our artistic director and choreographer, has stated to us, you know, actually, the tone is a little darker for most of our scenes, except for when Motor Mouth is on stage, where there tends to be brighter colors, signifying hope, signifying a change, signifying a new sunrise in the horizon. So, like, if you come and see this production, which I really hope that you all will, you'll notice a much different tone to, like if you go and see a production of Bye Bye Birdie, and where everything's going to be very technicolor. This is a less tone-filled version, but it definitely still has its moments.
Is this your first turn in a drag role in a musical?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know, I have to give credit to all women out there. You know, high heels are no joke. I might always wear thigh highs from now on, though, because they're very comfortable. I'm just saying.
But I should ask you, from your Avenue Q days, are you wearing underpants today?
I am wearing underpants today, just for you.
We should let people know what that reference
is. Yes.
Your character in Avenue Q has a song that is quite amusing, saying I'm not wearing
underwear today. No, I'm not wearing underwear today. My big 53 second song
from Avenue Q, which you performed at the New Conservatory Theater. Well, we look forward to this production of Hairspray. We're going to go out with the infectious You Can't Stop the Beat,
yeah,
from Hairspray, the production of Bay Area Musicals. Hairspray runs from July 6th through the 11th at the Victoria Theater in San Francisco. Information at bamsf.org/hairspray. Scott, I understand this is your last performance before moving to the San Diego area.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm a high school theater teacher by day, actor by night, and I was given a job down in the Vista area of San Diego, so, which is closer to family. Okay. So I decided it was time to head back to Southern California. But, you know, what a way to finish my
fantastic.
resume of Bay Area theater.
Have a great run of it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in, Scott. Can't Stop the Beat from Hairspray, being staged by Bay Area Musicals through August 11. BAMSF.org/hairspray for more information. I'm pleased to be joined once again by my regular contributor and good friend, Peter Robinson, to update us about the happenings up at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and other cultural activities up and around Ashland.
Hi, David. Yeah, good to be here. Good to be back. And I spent 5 days up in Ashland. It's about a five-hour drive from here in San Francisco. And before I run into the plays, I just want to say a little bit about the town, because there are numerous sort of activities you can get up to. You go to the theater, but you can discover hiking or biking. The surrounding hills are just not only extremely rich and colorful this time of year, they've had the benefit of the rain. On top of that, you have an option for whitewater rafting, and there's been a lot of snow, so the actual temperature is fairly chilly in the rivers, particularly on the Rogue. So if you are doing whitewater rafting, choose a company that gives you wetsuits. That'll be very helpful, useful protection.
I actually did some whitewater rafting last time I was up there. It was quite fun.
Yeah, so you've got class 4 on the Rogue, and then you've got the kind of gentle one on the Klamath. So you have a choice. And there are also music festivals. The Rogue Valley Symphony has productions. There is a chamber concert, chamber music concert. So you have plenty of choices beyond the theatre, even when you do go for the theatre. And I should add that downtown Ashland is a very pretty little town, some excellent restaurants, a wonderful bookshop called Bloomsbury's, where I spend a lot of time browsing. And a good place to start is the Chamber of Commerce. They will give you a booklet that gives you an update calendar, also places to stay. I stayed in the Ashland Hills Hotel, which is literally just off I-5, and it does have the advantage of having a shuttle to downtown. It's about a 10-minute drive, or else rent a bike and simply get downtown. So there's plenty going on beyond the theatre, which would justify staying a few extra days there. Now, if you are going to the theatre, it's important to check the name of the theatre you're going to, because there are three different theatres. There's the Angus Bowman Theatre, which is probably the most long-standing one. There is the Thomas Theatre, which is more of a theatre in the round. And then finally, there's the one which is the one everyone does go to, the Alan Elizabeth Theatre. And the Elizabethan Theatre is an outdoor theatre. So read the blurb on your tickets carefully, because if it does rain, if you leave in the first 60 minutes, you can get a replacement for another production later in the season or even for something for next year. If you stay after that 60 minutes and you're wet, the play is still going on and you've got to see the play. So let me kick off with the Alan Elizabethan Theatre, where they have a production of Macbeth, and it follows pretty much the traditional, but it's got an emphasis on certainly many different things. The actress who plays Lady Macbeth, Amy Kim Wachi, is probably the strongest of all the cast. And when it comes to the ambitious couple, Danforth Comans plays Macbeth. She is definitely the stronger of the two. The play has added what I consider to be an extra scene at the beginning, which gives the story a sort of significance, and only in the second part do the witches come on. Now, these weird sisters are dressed in white, so they are definitely not the black witches, and they are very seductive. They're in white dresses, and you feel they're putting a spell on the whole audience. So this is a interesting production. I spoke to the director, Jose Luis Valenzuela, and he has kind of picked up on the words in the play. So if you take one of the closing scenes when Burnham Wood to Dunsinane comes, it's all done in the imagination of Macbeth. If I have a criticism, yeah, Macbeth is not quite the charismatic leader of men that I would have associated. And I think this comes out in the speech. Is this a dagger which I see before me? Certainly well worth going to see. And this is at the Alan Elizabethan Theatre. Now, I should add that for non-Shakespeare buffs, there are also interesting alternative plays, so you don't have necessarily to go to Shakespeare. Hairspray would be a good example of a Broadway musical that has its place there, and a Steinbeck story called Mother Road, which has had excellent reviews, is also playing at the Angus Bowman Theatre. So you can choose between Shakespeare and contemporary plays, or totally modern or new plays. Now, the two other ones that I caught in the Shakespeare category was All's Well That Ends Well and As You Like It. Both these plays run until October, and I think it's worth stressing that the Shakespeare season is really a full season. You can go up there as late as October and consider the change of climate, because Ashland is hot in the months of August, beginning to cool down in September, and you may actually get rain in October. So you've got a full range of why it's worth visiting Ashland. And I certainly enjoy the town, I enjoy the whitewater rafting, I enjoy the biking, and of course you have this classic Shakespeare choices. They also have a couple of new plays or adaptations, and one which is proving exceedingly popular, and it does run until the end of the season, is Alice in Wonderland. So you don't have to be a Shakespeare buff, there's something for everybody. It's a play at a place for all seasons.
We should also mention that
you'll enjoy the city, you'll enjoy the town, you'll enjoy the music, and you'll enjoy the countryside.
Indeed. And among the other offerings is Hairspray, the Broadway musical being done, and a bilingual take on the Comedy of Errors in Italian as well as in English, La Commedia of Errors. So that should be interesting to see as well. Thanks, Peter.
Good to be here, David. Good to see you.
If you can't get enough Hairspray here in the Bay Area and you're traveling up north, well, you can head up to the Oregon Shakespeare and catch a production of Hairspray there, or at Bay Area Musicals. Take your pick. Here's another tune from that amazing show, Big, Blonde, and Beautiful.
Are you all hungry for some good fun?
step out of bounds. Now, who we got here? Mama wants you to meet my new friend.
Queen Latifah from the musical Hairspray. You can't want to catch it here in the Bay Area? Sure, go to Bay Area Musicals, BAMSF.org, for more information. And it's up at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as well, as we heard from Peter Robinson. Well, I'm pleased to announce that next week and the week after, my guest host, in a new swing of career after her retirement at the San Francisco Chronicle, Leah Garchick will be sitting in as a guest host next week for Open Air. And she'll be talking with actors Adrian Roberts and Leontine Mabeli Mbongo of the actors from the African-American Shakespeare Company's production of the Scottish play, Macbeth. From the San Francisco Playhouse, she'll also talk with actors Louis Parnell, who plays Herr Schultz, and Katie Heyman, who plays Sally Bowles in the San Francisco Playhouse production of Cabaret. Just saw that last night. Amazing production. Catch it if you can. You'll learn more next week with Leah Garchick. She'll also talk with director Jose Maria Condemi, who is in town to direct the Schwabacher Summer Concert as part of the Marilla Opera Program, which you've been hearing about here on KLW. I'm David Latulippe. Thanks so much for listening to Open Air. It's produced by Niels Swinkels, archived at kalw.org. And as it is the 4th of July, let's go out on a slightly patriotic note and a classic, This Land Is Your Land, and Peter, Paul, and Mary's version here on Open Air.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
I roamed and I rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was singing. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me those golden valleys.
This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
As the sun was shining, and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, a voice was saying, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California